Morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all. People in church, give us a little cheer. Hopefully you can hear that. Just want to encourage you, if you're at home enjoying the relaxing time, you can book and you can be here in person, and it'll be great to see you. And we've got more chairs out now, so we could probably get at least 50 or 60 of us in, that'll be wonderful to worship together. But you're also very welcome at home. And we're just going to pray briefly before we start, and then we're going to watch a video which can explain today's theme. So, Lord Jesus, we welcome you here. We thank you that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for the words of Psalm 63. We say these as a prayer. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. That's our heart's desire today, Lord, that we would know you, we would experience your presence. We want to worship you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So as it's Trinity Sunday, we're going to have a brief message from our sponsors.
What's a trinity?
What's a trinity?
That sounds like a big question, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Big questions with a back number!
What is a trinity? That's a good question. Dr. Schnivenhausen?
Yeah. Ah, a very good question. The word Trinity means three in one. Tri-unity. Three in one. This is God. He is one. The one true God. But the Bible talks about God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and in the New Testament, God the Son.
So there are three gods?
No. The Bible tells us over and over that God is one. But God is made up of three persons. It's sort of like a triangle. A triangle has three sides, yet it is one triangle. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the three sides of God.
So God has parts?
No. This is where it gets tricky. God the Father isn't a part of God, he's completely God. And God the Son isn't a part of God, he's completely God. The same is true for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. All three persons are completely God.
On that bombshell. No, so we will be looking at the Trinity in more detail later on, but let's just position ourselves, I think, is probably the best way to describe it, as we want to worship. And I know it's more difficult at home when it's more relaxed, but I just want to invite you, just hold your hands out, maybe stand where you are, and I invite you here in church. Let's stand, shall we? Let's engage with God, because he's here. His spirit is in us, as we say, so we really want to engage with him this morning. He's a relational God who loves us. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us and reveal yourself to us. Amen.
Let's worship together. Feel free to stand, sit, or whatever else that works for you. We'll drink your coffee, that's fine. One.
Spirit,
Lord, we come.
are gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Saviour, to call on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We are gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Saviour, to fall on your grace.
Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that.
Lord, we worship you and we praise you for your mystery, for the fact that right now we see just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. And Lord, we live for the day when we see more, when we know more, when we know you, and when we know that you know us completely, which you do. Amen.
Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn and run the course of day till the in crimson rays. His fingerprints in flakes of snow, his breath upon his spinning globe. He charts the eagle's flight, commands the newborn baby's cry. Hallelujah! Let all creation stand and sing. Hallelujah! Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's King. Creation gazed upon his face, the ageless one in time's embrace. Unveiled the Father's plan of reconciling God and man. A second Adam walked the earth, whose blameless life would break the curse, whose death would set us free to live with him eternally. Hallelujah! Let all creation stand and sing. Hallelujah! Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's King.
Creation longs for his return, when Christ shall reign upon the earth. The bitter wars that raged are birth pains of a coming age. When he renews the land and sky, all heaven will sing and earth reply with one resplendent theme, the glory of our God and King. Let all creation stand and sing. Hallelujah!
Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's King.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Let all creation stand and sing.
Worship you as a God of creation. And again, those mysteries that we see, the incredibleness, the way that night follows day, the way that life perpetuates itself. Lord, we lift our hands to you, we lift our eyes to you, and we worship you. It's incomprehensible and absolutely incredible, and we love it. Who can know?
Who can know the mind of our Creator? Who can speak of wonders yet unseen? Who can reach the height of understanding to play the notes of wisdom's melody? Who has weighed dust of every mountain? Who has walked the mysteries of the deep? Who has laid the earth on its foundation? And who conducts the waves upon the sea? I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe. Glorious and true. I stand in awe, I stand in awe.
You have seen.
You have seen the end from the beginning. You have been before the world began.
You have reached to me within my darkness, and in the light of mercy now I see.
I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, so glorious and true.
I stand in awe. 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 I stand in awe.
I stand in awe.
I stand in awe.
Let's just focus on him for a moment. Close your eyes, look up, raise your hands. Whatever you feel moved to do, whatever you feel you need to do. Lord, we're here waiting for you, waiting for your Holy Spirit. Lord, send your Spirit. We know that we are in his presence all the time, but let us feel acutely aware of the Holy Spirit in us and on us right now. As we move closer to you to receive your word, to maybe deepen our understanding, to see a path forward from where we are to where we need to be with you. Amen.
Faith could move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, we're waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, and still you know my heart. The author of salvation, you've loved us from the start. We're waiting here for you, with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing Alleluia.
You are everything.
You are everything you promised. Your faithfulness is true. We're desperate for your presence, and all we need is you. And we're waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high in praise, and it's you we adore, singing Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia. And we're waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high in praise, and it's you we adore, singing Alleluia.
And it's you we adore,
and it's you adore, singing Alleluia. Alleluia.
Why don't you take a seat? Just come to that point in our service where we confess. I guess we're confessing that there's more to to come. We acknowledge that we're broken. The world we live in is broken, but we fix our eyes on God's kingdom, on that day where everything will be renewed. And we just use these words to acknowledge, you know, our brokenness and reaffirm our faith in Jesus, in the cross, in what he's done for us. So let's use these words. You raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You make one by your Spirit the torn and divided. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Maybe just before we pray, let's just bring to mind those things that you acknowledge in your life, or the things, you know, in those that you know and love. Maybe there's a situation that you want to bring life into. You want the breath of the Spirit to revive. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's brokenness. The Spirit can bring pardon and peace to that brokenness. Bring restoration to the torn and divided. So receive these words as God's word to us in all of those situations. He says this in Ezekiel, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. A new heart I will give you, and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Let's just receive that today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Kate's going to bring us our reading.
Today's reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of sonship, of adoption, as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. And the second reading is from John 16, verses 12 to 15. A little while and you will no longer behold me. Hang on, is that the right place? Yes. And again a little while, and you will see me. Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, What is this thing he's telling us? A little while, and you will not behold me. And again a little while, and you'll see me. And because I go to the Father? And so they were saying, What is this that he says, a little while? We don't know what he's talking about. No, actually, no. Sorry. Oh, dear. I'll start again. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Are you comfortable? Yeah. Thank you, Kate. That second reading we've just heard from John is a fairly rare place in Scripture where there's mention of all three members of the Trinity in one place. There are others There's some really obvious ones. So the baptism of Jesus, I'm sure, comes to mind when you think about that, the physical presence of God in the Son being baptized. We have the voice of God the Father from heaven. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit of God descending as like a dove upon him. But in this passage in John, we get some sort of, even some theology packed in there as well, which is obviously going to be helpful when we begin to try and understand the Trinity. Although I think probably the cartoon's probably better than I'm going to do. But maybe we should just show that again. But just to pick out some lines from that passage that Kate read out. First of all, it says the Spirit guides us into all truth. And specifically, the Spirit guides us into all truth about Jesus, about the Son. And so already we have two of the Trinity relating there. Secondly, it says the Spirit speaks what he hears. The Spirit of God speaks what he hears. And what he hears is from the Father, just as Jesus spoke what he heard from the Father as well. It also says that the Spirit glorifies Jesus, the Son. It says the Spirit takes what is from Jesus and declares it to us. So we get involved in this relationship as well. Within this sort of Trinity relationship, we're invited in, which is really exciting. And then it says all that the Father has, all that God the Father has, belongs to Jesus, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, and will declare it to us. So there's this wonderful sense of relationship between the Godhead, but also there's an invitation for us to be part of that relationship. And I think that's really key, and that's where I want to go today. I've said it's a rare thing to mention the Trinity, but actually, if you look closely enough, you can find references to the Trinity throughout Scripture, even in the Old Testament, dare I say it, even in a Jewish scripture, which was, remember, the Jewish faith, a monotheistic culture and religion. And yet, I just want to draw a few things out that I found really interesting looking at this. Most Jews would say to them the most significant line of the Bible, or line of their scripture, is anyone going to tell me what it is? Is the Shema, the Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, which is where they express their very belief in God. And they would say, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. But then it continues, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and strength. Clearly a monotheistic statement, yes? Or is it? And it's really interesting. If you look at that same word, and I'm not great on Hebrew, but it's something like echad, which is the word for one in that line. The same word is used in Genesis 2, where it says, and the two shall become one flesh. That's the word, one there. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that we have the idea of unity, of one, but it's a combination of two. It's the line we use in a wedding, isn't it? The two shall become one flesh. And that's where that word one comes. The same, you can get, well, let's look at some more verses in the Torah. In Genesis, just looking at that, we've got this line, let us make man in our image. This is God speaking. In the plural. Behold, the man has become like one of us. Let us go down and confuse their language. So there's clearly something going on there that within the Jewish culture of monotheism isn't maybe addressed fully. There seems to be a hint of a plural nature. And then look at the early church. The early church, the Christians, the first Christians on earth, were Jews. And yet, what do? As soon as Jesus is resurrected, they worship him. They worship Jesus. Now, that's pretty much sacrilege in the Jewish faith when you can think about it. You know, you should worship the Lord your God only. And yet they're worshipping Jesus. So there's clearly an identification of Jesus with God. And then also notice how quickly they baptize. And what do? They baptize in the name, singular, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we also, from the early church, get the grace that we use all the time when we pray, when we end our meetings. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Trinitarian prayer going on in the early church. Interesting. So there's a lot of scriptural evidence in the Old and in the early church that God is more than just a singular unity. Interestingly, by the way, does anyone know what... Actually, may I ask John? John might be the only one. Does anyone know what word is in triplicate in the Bible? There's only one word that's three times repeated in the Bible. And it's the word holy. Holy, holy, holy. And again, it's interesting, isn't it, that the one word that's repeated three times in the Bible is the one word that we use to worship God, to glorify God, you know. Just a little aside. So is the Trinity really as strange as we maybe think? Maybe we overcomplicate it, I don't know. I want to simplify it really by thinking about it in terms of diversity and unity. So diversity and yet unity. And that kind of concept is really familiar with us, I think. Even if we look at nature... I don't know if you like nature stuff, but you know, if you watch a David Attenborough program or whatever, you know, you see this incredible diversity, don't you, within creation. We've been singing about creation this morning. And yet there is this unity, there is this unifying molecule, DNA, which unifies everything. We have diversity and yet unity. And I was wondering on this earlier in the week, and I think that's almost like a word for us. As a church, we are diverse. I mean, look at us. But yet we're united, aren't we? We're united around a common cause, a common worship of God. And even when you look at the verses about spiritual gifts, they're all about a diversity of gifts. We looked at it this time last year, in fact, when we were looking at spiritual gifts. There is a diversity of gifts. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, is the same God at work. And then it says, now to each, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. There's a common aim in all this diversity that God has given us, and that is to worship Him and to build up His body. So diversity and unity is not an alien concept to us. But I suppose inevitably we need an analogy to explain the Trinity because maybe we've made it complicated. I quite like that triangle that they showed. But there's nothing wrong with analogies. We use analogies all the time, don't we? I mean, Fiona's a science teacher. I used to be a science teacher. If you want to explain anything that's slightly difficult or something we can't see, we use an analogy. We talk about electricity. We talk about the flow of current. Well, electricity doesn't go down a wire like a river, does it? But we use descriptions to enable us to understand things better. And so metaphors are sometimes helpful. So there's a few here, and some of them will be helpful, some of them won't, depending on how you like to think about things. So the first one is the Trinity is like a calculation. If you think of the product of 1 times 1 times 1, what do you get? You get 1. So 1 times 1 times 1 is 1. And so you have this idea within that mathematical equation that there is, there are numbers in relationship with one another, but the product of them is a single 1. The other thing you could say is that reality itself is in three dimensions. We're quite familiar with three dimensions. We don't separate them out, apart from when we're lying flat on the ground, maybe, I don't know. But, you know, three dimensions is a familiar concept to us. Three dimensions and yet a single reality. And there are lots of others, you know, we could talk about ice and water and steam. we talked about that earlier, didn't we? And I used to have a wedding ring, which was a Russian wedding ring. So it had three circles all interlinked. And that used to be quite handy. In fact, I remember at my first ever interview, I had to explain the Trinity. The question was, how do you explain the Trinity to an eight-year-old, I think it was. So I pulled my ring out and started using that. But I think sometimes these images are not so helpful because they're limited. And obviously they're limited because they're not the full reality. My favourite one is probably the idea of the sun. In fact, I don't know if where you're sitting now, you can see the sun coming through the windows. But it was like that this morning. And for me, the image of the Father as the sun is quite helpful because we see the sun's light. So we could equate Jesus to the light of the sun and the Holy Spirit as the heat from the sun. And we don't notice the sun without the heat and the light. And also you can't separate them really, in a sense. They are the same thing. And so I kind of like that interdependence of the three, that you can't have one without the other. And yet they, in a way, have a different way of interacting with us. We feel the heat, we see the light, and they both reveal God, the Father, or the Son to us. There's an old early church analogy of God, the Father, Son, and Spirit as God's hands. The Spirit and the Son are God's hands. That's what Irenaeus said, and that was his description of the Trinity. But even then, you have to kind of explain that God always does things with both hands. God never does things with one hand, he always does them with two. Otherwise, you're separating out the Trinity, which we shouldn't do, because they're all God. And we can't separate God out. We can't separate the Trinity. They are three in one. So I want to kind of mainly focus for the rest of our time just thinking about relationship. And we've already talked about how God relates to within the Trinity. How do we relate to God? And how do we relate to the three forms or three members or three persons of the Trinity? So it might be helpful to associate God the Father with the idea that God is over us. That God the Father, in a sense, is that authority. He's that protection. He's that government, that purpose over us. And that maybe God the Son, with the idea that God identifies with us. That Jesus identifies with us because he was man. He was made man. He lived life. He went before us. He died and was resurrected so that we can follow him and also experience the same. And so God identifies with us through the Son. So he identifies, he's over us as God the Father and with us as God the Son. And the Spirit, we can identify with the fact that God is in us. The Spirit is how we experience God. We feel his presence. We sense his presence. We receive gifts. Our hearts burn when we worship. We feel joy. And so the same God is over us and is with us and is in us. But we need to be careful not to separate those functions out. They are all God. They're all God, the way that God relates to us. And I think the problem is we try and analyze things and separate them out, but actually God is not to be separated. We need to be careful with that separation, because if we go down that line too far, well, people died for it in the Middle Ages, didn't they, for explaining that the Son and the Spirit were somehow subordinate to the Father. That we even created this creed, which we read out sometimes in the early service, which talks about the Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son. It's useful language, maybe, but actually it's not strictly true. And the church split in the 12th century, if you know anything about the Eastern Church and the West Church, split over that very thing, whether the Spirit actually came from the Father or was. Anyway, too much church history for one day. But we're not to separate them. That's what I'm saying. They're all true, and they're all true all of the time. But the key is this relationship, that there is a relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit. We see that in Scripture. We see it in God's character. God's character, His very nature, is relational. God is love. And just take that phrase, God is love. God has to be relational because God is love. If you think before creation even began, how can God be love unless there was that unity and diversity at the same time? Love requires relationship, doesn't it? And so if God is love, God is in relationship. God is relational. We see it in God's very nature. We see it in Scripture. We see the Father delights in the Son. The Father glorifies the Son. And yet the Son delights in the Father and glorifies the Father. Constantly giving thanks for the Father. You see me, you've seen the Father. The Holy Spirit reveals the glory of the Son. And there is this free giving and receiving of glory and praise and delight in one another whenever the Spirit, the Son, and the Father interact. So my final question to us this morning is, how do we engage with God? Because that's the invitation that we had right at the start in that Scripture. How do we become part of that relationship within the Trinity? How do we engage with God? And maybe, and I suspect this is true for most of us, maybe we only engage with part of God. It may be that when you pray, you only use one word all the time. You may only ever pray, Father. You may only ever engage with that kind of idea that God is provider or protection. Or maybe we only ever pray to the Holy Spirit. We only pray for guidance, for help, for God's leading. Or maybe we only ever pray to Jesus, that he associates with us and knows us and went before us. But we're limiting ourselves and we're limiting the way we react with God if we do that. I just want to encourage you, just very simply, to mix it up when you pray. Just to pray to different aspects of God, because He wants to engage with us in different ways. So I want to leave you with that phrase again, that God is over us, that He is with us, and He is in us. And He is desperate for a relationship with us. And so just encourage you, whatever you do, whatever part of the day you're in, however you're feeling, just know all three aspects of God's relationship with us, that He is over us, that He's with us, and that He is in us. Let's just pray for a moment, maybe if the band could come up and get ready. And let's just engage with God now. And maybe you need to know this morning that God is over you, that He is protecting you, that His hand, the shadow of the Almighty is over you. That wing, as it talks about in Psalms, is protecting you. Just receive that now. Receive that love of the Father, that protection. But maybe you need to know that God understands what you're going through, that He is with you, that He has gone before you, that whatever you're going through, He has done it. He has provided for it. That there is hope of eternal life because of Jesus, because of His sacrifice on the cross and His resurrection. Maybe you need to know that inner strength, that peace, that joy. Maybe you need to experience the Holy Spirit afresh in you. And so just receive that. Receive the fullness of what God has for you this morning. Maybe as the band play the next song, that you would just press into God. press into him. Amen.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior, I believe God the Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one, I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Judge. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life. Forever seated high. I believe in God the Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one, I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus, for I believe. I believe in life eternal, I believe in the virgin birth, I believe in the saints' communion, and in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection, when Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus, for I believe.
believe in the name.
For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you've brought us to this day. I thank you, Father, that you have spoken so many things to open our eyes to see the beauty of yourself in your many facets. Father, I just thank you for who you are. And I believe you gave me this scripture this morning. You said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So, Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work within the world, through the hands of your people, that we are able to show Jesus to the world. Father, we bring the situations in the world into your hands and we give them to you. Father, there are many things we don't understand with our finite minds, but Father, thank you that you know, you understand, and that although we may not understand, your timing is all important. And Father, we do raise to you, Father, the nation of Israel at this time. Father, you say in your word that you made Jerusalem a cup of reeling in the hands of the nations. And Father, it seems that that is happening. Father, we give her into your hands. Father, you say to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they shall have a right relationship with God who love her. And Father, we pray for all of those people who are caught up in this situation at this time, be they Jews or Arabs, Muslims or Christians, Orthodox or any other type of Christian or religion, Father. We pray that each one may come to a knowledge of you, that, Father, your presence will be with them, that you will reveal yourself to them. And we bring this situation into your hands, Father, because we know that you love your people and we know that you love the land. Father, we just bring this situation into your hands, and we bring into your hands, Father, the situation all over the world, be it through disease, through natural disasters, or whatever else. Father, we know that you care, and we bring these situations to you and ask you to be Lord of every situation. Father, we bring our church to you. We thank you, Father, for your precious Holy Spirit, the empowering that you gave us, not only for us to be built up, but also to use what you've given us to reach out to others in evangelism and in care and in consolation. Father, we pray that you will be with all in authority, be they natural or spiritual, Father. We pray for your overruling in that, Father, because you tell us to pray for all in authority, that we may have a right relationship with you, that we may live good, godly and quiet lives, Father, as we pray for your people and as we pray for them. And Father, at this time, there is so much wisdom that is needed. So we pray that your precious Holy Spirit will grant to those in the government and in governments around the world your wisdom and your insight, and that, Father, they will act upon it, we pray. Father, we also bring to you our mission focus today, Father, which of turning tides. Father, we thank you for the new Horsham bus project, and we pray it's real, your real blessing upon it, Father, as it seeks to reach out and provide necessary and crucially important showers and other facilities, Father, for those who come there. And Father, we pray that they may come to a knowledge of you, because Father, they know that you care, that you are the one who brings good news. And Father, we pray for all homeless people in Sussex, that Father, they will find places of refuge, that places where they can be at home, and that Father, they don't have to be on the streets anymore. Father, we pray for your blessing. We pray for wisdom. We pray for all the resources that are needed, and we thank you, Father, for all that you do do. Father, we also bring to you Alpha, Kintsugi groups, and the outreach, all outreach that is going on through this church to those around who don't at this point know you, and to those who do, but Father, who need help. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we bring to you the groups, the roads that we pray for on a regular basis, Father, that you may be uplifted, that your word says that wherever Jesus is lifted up, all men will be drawn to you. And Father, we pray for Church Road, for the Orchard, for Corslets Avenue, for Stanford Way, for Thelton Avenue and Bearsden's Way and Wickhurst Gardens. Father, we pray for a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit over this area, that your presence will be felt, that everyone who knows you in those areas, Father, may be empowered to reach out and to be witnesses to you wherever they are. And Father, we also pray for our own congregation, Father, for any who are sick at this time, that they may find your healing and your restoration. Father, for those who have lost people, who are mourning and grieving, you promise, Father, that you will grant them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. And Father, we pray that, as your word says, that underneath are the everlasting arms. So Father, we pray for your comfort, your consolation, your meeting with your people wherever they are. And we thank you, Father. We bring all these prayers in the name of your Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Kate. Just pray the collect for today, Trinity Sunday. Holy God, faithful and unchanging, enlarge our minds with the knowledge of your truth and draw us more deeply into the mystery of your love, that we may truly worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Just really excited about Alpha. It's been a really great season we've had running Alpha twice all the way through. Someone came to faith a couple of weeks ago on the course. We're just really excited about just that ministry, really. We've been really blessed by being able to do it online. And no doubt we will do it again in September. So just to encourage you, and if there's anyone you know that needs to do Alpha, would like to do Alpha, let us know, because actually it's opened up a whole new opportunity through doing it on Zoom. And as a result, we'll probably be doing some baptisms in a couple of weeks' time, when we can, when we've got a full church, and when we can touch people. I'm really excited about that, and we've got someone from the previous Alpha as well, so we're going to have at least two adult baptisms, but probably a few more as well. So yeah, be praying for that, and be excited. I just want to finish with the end part of Psalm 63 again, because I just like the way that at the beginning it talks about us being hungry for God, but the second part talks about us being satisfied. And I hope that you feel satisfied this morning, having been worshipping, having, you know, been in the presence of God. Not that we're never, it's not that we're not in the presence of God when we leave this place, but there's something powerful, isn't there, about worshipping together. You know, when two or more gather, Jesus is here and his spirit is ministering to us. So just be satisfied. Just know that satisfaction of God's presence. It says this: my soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Just know that presence of God now as we go from this place. Ian is going to lead us in a final song, and then we'll have a blessing. Thanks.
Let's sing one last song together. Again, feel free to do that in whatever way you'd like to. Praise to the Lord.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. All my soul praise him, for he is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear him now to his temple draw near, praise him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love doth defend thee. The Lord, oh, let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly for a we adore.
Let the amen.
Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly for a we adore him.
Just want to thank Mark Kennard for keeping up with the camera this morning, bouncing around, and Julia for the flowers. And yeah, there's loads of people behind the scenes. I really appreciate Andrew and David at the back, and Nikki just keeping us going. It's a real blessing to be able to do this together, isn't it? So may God keep you in all your ways, in all your days. May Christ shield you in all your ways. May the Spirit bring you healing and peace. May God, the Holy Trinity, drive all darkness from you and pour upon you blessing and light. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.